So thank you so much for coming to the full application workshop. You should have found on the table the full application materials, and I passed around to most of you your feedback letters. The application material is also available on PDF and Word on our website, so if you want to grab it down off our website, it's there as well for you. So I just want to start by saying congratulations for being invited back for the full application round. It's great to see so many amazing projects come through our door, and it's always difficult for our review committee to be able to pare that down for those who are invited back for our full application. So congratulations on being here.
Why don't we take just a quick minute to introduce ourselves and just say a little bit about your what your project is, so people kind of know what the range of projects are. And I'm Heather Nelson-Kent, and I manage the Nature Neighborhoods Grant Programs at Metro.
Good evening. My name is Bill Weiler. I'm the Sandy River Basin Watershed Council. We're beginning year 13 on the Sandy River Delta.
My name is Marcy Katz, and I work with the Lemon Riverkeeper, and our project is to work on restoring Ross Island, and I've been working on this project for 5 years. The project has been going since the City of Portland acquired the island in 2007.
Nancy Champlin with the Salmon-Moreland Improvement League. We're the neighborhood association for the Salmon-Moreland community, and our project is on a parcel along the Springwater Corridor, and it's the Selwood Gap.
I'm Dwight Sandry. I'm with the Mountain Park Homeowners Association. We are proposing the first time a project to restore a section of the Springbrook Creek watershed. About 250 acres of the very upper part of Springbrook Creek watershed is in Mountain Park. We have 70 acres of common property, and this is a first project to take about one of the tributaries and do a complete restoration of that as a beginning of the program that encompasses all of that Springbrook Creek watershed.
Hi, my name is Jolene
Littlejohn.
I'm representing Ride Coordinate the Westwood Restoration Partnership. So it's a coalition of restoration organizations and community groups doing work in the Westside Wildlife Corridor, so between Tryon Creek Natural Area and Forest Park.
My name is Carrie Rapplin with the City of Wilsonville, and we're trying to get some grant funding in a partnership with one of the best alternatives to pesticides for creating a pollinator habitat and some of our medians and in our parks.
Hi, I'm Melissa Starry. I'm at Portland State University, and we're interested in also creating some pollinator habitat on campus. And what we're really going to do is build sort of a corridor between the Willamette and Forest Park, larger, and kind of connect larger patches of habitat. And we're working with community partners, Friends of Trees, and Green Lens, and we're really excited about having our students get exposure and form connections to these communities.
I'm Bill Weissman. I'm here on behalf of Verde, and this is a project to do restoration work with the Whitaker Pollens along with Lucky's Colonia, 47. It's a partnership with the Colonia Sioux Watershed Council, Hacienda CBC, Portland Parks Recreation, and a couple of other partners.
I'm April Ulbrich with the Paulette River Watershed Council. This is a project in the urban areas along the area of the Fountain Creek Trail that's just been included, and our partners yourself, City of Tigard, and other services. And what's unique about our project is in the fall we have lots of restoration going on, but really no one's kind of been stepping forward to engage with industrial owners. We have a watershed that has 87% of the lands are in private ownership, so it's really important that we can get lots of these public properties restored, but if we don't get the sections in between restored, we've lost some things. So.
I'm Laura Bjork. I'm with the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. So of course I'm excited to hear about all the pollinator habitat, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. We also work on freshwater mussels and understanding their distribution, their relocation needs, surveying, and loving this a lot. But we have been working on it in that area for some time, and we're trying to expand to additional watersheds and partnerships.
I'm Britt Stetson. I'm with Solve, and we are working on two different projects to restore watersheds with a large base of community volunteers, one in Fairview Creek's Heron Point, and then one in Washington County and Council Creek.
I'm Krista Gardner. I'm the grants coordinator for the Restoration, Conservation, Education, and Trails grants, and so you'll see emails from me occasionally, and if you have any questions, you can shoot me an email or give me a phone call. So, do you want to introduce yourself?
I did.
Did at the beginning? Okay. Good. Thanks for doing that.
It's the end of the day for us, too, so thank you so much. I know some of you travel a really long way to get here, and I wish we could. It's just tough. We have a big region to cover, so thank you. That's who we are. We just introduced ourselves, but like Krista said, we are really here to help you if there's any support that you need as you're putting your applications together through this last phase. Please don't hesitate to give us a call if you have questions you want to talk through or questions about how you should present things, questions about your budgets. Just, you know, we really are here to help you, so take us up on it. I think most of you know, but I just as a reminder of where the funding for these grants comes from and the purpose of the grants. In 2013, the Metro Council put a measure on the ballot for natural area maintenance of Metro's land, and also to support community partners who are trying to preserve, enhance, and restore natural areas in our region and connect people to nature. And so these grants are funded with the voter approval of that levy, and it's a five-year levy. It generates about $10 million a year for Metro to do the projects that we're responsible for, as well as to fund this grant program. And we're so grateful to the voters and for the council's leadership to ask voters for the funding and to include grants as part of that. So it's very much an honor to support your projects and work with you. And we're really excited about the projects that you've brought to us in this round. They're fantastic. I don't want to talk about that. Move on to that.
Sure. So just as a reminder, I mean, you've seen these before. These were in the pre-application handbook, but just as a reminder that these are kind of our overarching goals: community stewardship in developed areas and restoration in natural areas. Really, just acknowledging that there's a spectrum of restoration projects that happen. Things like the pollinator habitat in the urban core in downtown, to much larger restoration projects, for example, in the Sandy watershed. So, you know, there's a large spectrum in our region. Our region is not one size fits all, so just acknowledging that in our own grant materials. And in terms of our goals for these grant programs, it's twofold. It's really that that both the restoration of habitat and allowing for space for wildlife, but it's also the people and the access to the to those natural areas, and really getting them involved in the stewardship of the natural areas. So it's very much a twofold program, and you saw that in the first pre-application. Just very basically the schedule. So I apologize for this date of the full application being due, but since we're juggling a few different grant programs, we're asking for the applications to be due on July 7th, which is a Tuesday at 4 p.m. So that's our application deadline. We'll plan to tell you whether your grant has been recommended for funding in August, and to have the Metro Council meeting in September. So the Metro Council is the final decision maker, and they do a formal presentation and usually a celebration. They like to meet all of the great people who are working in the region on restoration projects. So the full application evaluation, if you want any of this information, I'm going over a lot of information that's also in your packet, and a lot of this is repetition from the pre-application. It's a reminder, basically, of why we're here and what we're trying to accomplish. So the evaluation criteria is the same as it was in the pre-application. We're really looking for qualified programs. We're looking for well-crafted projects. And the difference is that in the full application, we're asking for more detail. So we're asking, in the pre-application, we asked for information about your partnerships. And now we're asking for letters of support from your partners. So we'll take a look at your letters of support to see how active and interested and engaged your partners are in your project. In the pre-application, we asked you to describe in the project narrative what your project is and what you are trying to accomplish. In this full application, we're asking for a scope of work, so much more detail about how you're going to accomplish what you said that you wanted to accomplish. And then also in our goals section, in the pre-application, we asked for general information on how you think your program meets both your own goals of your organization, but also the goals of the Nature and Neighborhood Grants Program. And in this full application phase, we're really asking you to go into greater depth in determining your evaluation outcomes report. What would you be reporting on at the end of this grant period if you were awarded the grant, on how your program was successful? How would you know that it was successful? So we're trying to build upon the pre-application, not trying to be repetitive in what we're asking for you, but build on the detail and the depth of our understanding of what you're trying to accomplish. You all have in front of you a feedback letter. And so these letters are things that we put together really to try and give you a sense of what it feels like when we're in a review committee meeting. So we have, we've kind of documented our general feedback, so the general discussion at the table. The review committee is looking at those evaluation criteria that I just shared with you, and then they're bringing their own professional judgment to bear. So our review committee is made up of peers of yours, other people who work in restoration in some sense or another, either work for a nonprofit or work for a community group or work in restoration, are scientists, something of that nature. So they're really bringing that professional expertise to bear in those review committee meetings. And so that general feedback is really where we try and document what happens in those committee meetings. And so this is just on the screen, I just have a quick and dirty summary of what that feedback was. So they were really looking for well-written proposals that really clearly described the projects. And they really appreciated that. Some of our review committee members really appreciated authentic proposals, which means that when people had tried something similar, they acknowledged challenges that they had faced and how they had overcome those challenges. Because as we all know, things are not easy. Things seem easy when you look at a theory, and then when you try and apply things, sometimes they don't work out exactly as you think they will. And I also really liked looking at current targets, so not just our own goals and programs, but why now, why this project, why at this time, and why is this a particular need for either the community or the habitat or the wildlife that you're trying to serve. And then finally looking at some of the things that were important to them in terms of overall context. They were really looking at that regional context, so priority habitats, especially as designated in the regional conservation strategy, and looking at multiple benefits, as we discussed earlier. You know, our program is twofold. It's one for habitat and wildlife, and two for people. So looking at the multiple benefits of a particular site. And then finally, looking at the strength of partnerships. And that will come through, I think, in more depth in your letters of support. Did you guys have questions kind of about that review committee discussion?
I just want to thank you guys for the thoroughness. Sometimes some of us apply for grants where we don't necessarily get a lot of feedback about what needs to be improved or what were the good points. So I appreciate getting something.
That's great. Great. That's really helpful. Good. Good.
Good.
Yeah,
thank
our
you.
Review committee is fantastic, and
it's true.
We have experts from a lot of different backgrounds and experience, and so they provided very detailed comments to us, which sometimes we edited for brevity and sometimes to not hurt anyone's feelings. But no, they really did an incredible job. So. Thanks to the committee, because that's really their work that we've summarized and tried to make into sort of a coherent message back to you. So, yeah, Bill.
I just got a question about the projects were either going to be 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, and so folks like doing the application checked one or the other. It looks like on the feedback there was some suggestion that maybe drawing out the project, having it be more than a year, would be beneficial for getting rid of the non-native species, plants, and getting the native stuff to be able to grow. And so is changing the project to a two-year project as opposed to a one-year project, is that an acceptable change?
Yes.
Or
Yeah.
But popping the budget is not a...
Well, if you'll need to make a case that, or, you know, in your application, it'd be a good idea to remind us that you received that feedback and you're being responsive to it, and that if time change also means you need to extend the expand the scope and budget, that you just remind us that is being responsive to the feedback you got from the committee, and your additional research thinking about what the implications of that are. So.
We had a discussion with the review committee about both that and budget revisions. And so just if for all of you, if you're thinking about budget revisions, if you're making any sort of a major budget revision, please do include your reasoning behind that and why it's changed within the last 2 months.
Yeah, small adjustments aren't that unexpected. But, you know, anything that's substantial at all, the committee will just want to understand what the thinking is that requires that type of a change. In the last application review, we did have a couple projects that submitted much larger budgets the second time around, but they didn't really provide an explanation of why they hadn't realized they needed those budgets or what the difference was between the pre-app and the full app, and that was not very favorably received. So...
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there crossover between the committees? Are they separate committees between the pre-app and the final app?
No, it's the same group.
It's the same group?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions kind of about the review committee or their general feedback? I just wanted to go over this application with you. It's the main reason for having a workshop like tonight is to make sure that you understand kind of what's being asked of you and to allow you the opportunity to ask any questions of Heather and I and really be able to understand what needs to be done for the full application. So the application actually starts on page 9. Is that right? Or are you at page 11?
I printed it.
Oh, you printed it
online, so
I don't know
if it's
okay.
Different.
Well, it looks like this, section 3. Whether it's page 9 or page 11 on your copy, and I'll double check that on
okay,
to make sure.
Snagged it offline.
So I'm just going to walk you through some of these application materials. So this should look really familiar to you. The first page is a lot of the information that you already filled out for our first for the pre-application. So hopefully you won't have to redo that information. The only difference is that some people change fiscal agents, or some people decide to include a fiscal agent between their pre-application and full application. So if that's the case for you, please identify that person. And then some people change their partner slightly between their pre-application or full application. Most often people who are potential partners become committed partners. So if that's also true of you, please do change that on your application. And then the project summary, you already have completed, so thank you for doing that. That all should be fairly similar. The second page of the application, some of this information is very similar in terms of category. Length of project, as Bill mentioned, might change based on feedback or based on things that have changed slightly within your own project planning, as well as requested funding might change slightly. And if it does need to change more than slightly, please do include an explanation as of why. And then the pre-application materials, as I mentioned, the full application is really just meant to be a supplement to the pre-application materials. So your pre-application is really your narrative explaining what you're trying to do, and your full application is really just meant to be the supplementary information that provides the detail behind that that narrative. So the things that we're asking you for, which is on the third page of that.
Well, let me just add a little bit about the pre-app materials on that last section. If you know, some of you got some feedback that might require you to change your narrative a bit or your approach, things that are included in those preliminary materials. And so just make a note that you've made those changes. If you don't feel like it's necessary, don't worry about it. Just send, put in what you've had. But if it is something substantial and you want to make sure you address it, just flag it here for us so that we can also flag that for the committee's review. But if you feel like you can address the feedback in your scope and timeline and budget detail, then just, you don't have to update this information. That's the main
thing. So it's like if we make any changes, we should check the box.
Well, I think just use your best judgment. If you think it's a substantial change that you're making, then I would check the box.
And then they'll just be directed to reread that section. Otherwise, they'll just skim through and
read
the new stuff.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And if you can, just address it in your timeline, scope, and budget detail. Just do it there, and don't spend a lot of time updating the narrative portion of your materials.
So if something substantial has changed, go back and change the narrative of the pre-app and resubmit.
And yeah, and okay. Just check that section.
At the risk of beating a dead horse,
yeah.
Say one of our organizational partners that was potential, now is actual.
Yeah.
Would that be a change in the pre-application materials?
If it's going to change your scope, or they're bringing a lot of expertise that you didn't have to the project before, and you feel like you need to address that in the narrative, then maybe your organizational preparedness or something like that,
okay. Then
I would say yes. Otherwise, put it in your partner section,
okay. Attach
that scope of work, make sure that, or not scope of work, the letter of support,
mm-hmm. And
make sure the letter of support is really reflecting that change. Those letters of support are a really key aspect of your application. A lot of committee members read those very thoroughly to see what kind of commitment and expertise those partners are bringing to the table. They want to see it in those letters, so that's really the best place to put that.
And if you think about the reasoning behind that, the reasoning we have this kind of two-step phase is one, so that we're able to get to the full application stage, but also in terms of both the burden on you to write the application materials, as well as the burden on the review committee to read and evaluate those review materials. So that's why we ask that, you know, if you don't need to change those first materials, that you don't, that you leave them at this.
Yeah. You could always rewrite them, but you don't have to.
Yeah, no. I mean,
we could all do it, right? You could always write something a little bit different, right? You know, restrain yourself unless you really have to.
We got other things to do.
Exactly. So, yeah.
So the things that we're asking for, and this is on the next page under Section B, is the attachments. So the pre-application materials, if as is, great. If you want to revise them, that's fine also. But we ask that you resubmit them with the rest of your materials, so we just have everything in a neat packet. And then we ask that you submit the full application materials, and I'll go over these sheets, but we have the detailed budget, narrative, and worksheet, the evaluation measures and outcomes, and then the detailed scope of work. And then we offer also, some of you I know like to add photos. Our review committee asked some of you in particular to provide photos or design. We're giving you a couple of pages to include that information too, if it's helpful to your story. And then the actual attachments, we ask again for those letters of support. If you're using property that is not your own, to submit a letter of permission from the property owner. And then to submit your 501c3 IRS determination letter, or if you are using a fiscal agent, the 501c3 of your fiscal agent, or if you are a public entity, like a school, for example, then to let us know.
Mr. Would a current contract with the landowner be sufficient, or even a letter that specifically says they could use our land?
As long as it's not like, 15 pages. If you can find a contract that's so if you can find a contract that's short and sweet, that would be great. Yeah.
And if we have landowner permissions that are maybe from a couple of years ago because we've been working on the property, do they need to be updated and current for the year, or?
As long as it's clear that the agreement covers this project,
okay.
I think that's all we need. They don't have to be up to date. Bill?
Question about scope of work. Well, it looks like all the new pieces are important, but the scope of work seems to be especially important because it adds more detail to what otherwise was in the original pre-application. Could you give any example, not necessarily a specific one, just maybe in general terms, what would be, from your experience, what would be like an outstanding scope of work for it was really compelling, and it really made really supplemented well what was in that pre-app versus a scope of work.
Right.
It was like really kind of like, boy, they didn't really give us what we would have wanted to.
We will find some and put them on the website.
Okay.
We did that with the pre-applications, and I don't think we've done that yet for full applications, so thanks for that reminder. But we'll find some good ones.
Great.
That people have written in the past, and put those on the website. Maybe a couple different styles so you can see.
And just the
other thing I would mention is this other handout that Krista had for you tonight, the Beginner's Guide to Developing Restoration Projects. This has a lot of the key detail that you would want to think about in putting together your scope of work. Not every element of this is going to apply to every project, but it is a really nice guide to sort of thinking through the timeline, planning, and sort of the elements of a project. So I guess we're kind of skipping ahead.
Yeah, that's
we
okay.
Can wait,
well, yeah, that's all
we
right.
We can come back to it too.
Well, just in terms of, why don't we just.
Up here?
Yeah.
And so, this is written by the science staff here at Metro, and I think most of you will find it pretty useful. There's some really good information in it.
And it's, like Heather said, similar to this document. When you look at our scope of work kind of outline on our in your full application, which is number E, scope of work in your application, you'll see that there's several different phases
that are up on the screen. There's a project planning, implementation, maintenance, monitoring, and outreach. And those are our kind of general framework for a scope of work. We understand that some of you are only asking for one particular phase of those projects, and that's okay. We're just asking for you to delineate that those other phases have been done. So just let us know in your scope of work if those other phases have been done, or if you have other future plans to complete some of those other phases. And this was, the scope of work was in response to our review committee's request last year that they really wanted to have a linear story, a linear way of looking at what you would be doing. And so that's why there's also the timeline attached to it, is that, as we said, the review committee is made up of your peers, many of whom are scientists or project managers, and so they're really accustomed to seeing things in that step-by-step-by-step manner.
So are they looking for the detail in depth of the type of you're doing some spraying, what the chemical makeup is, or they told?
Not necessarily the detail of what the chemical makeup is. I mean, you only have 2 pages,
right.
So you want the detail,
yes.
But you can't, you know, there's only so much you're going to be able to provide. So
they probably want to know whether you're spraying or not.
Right.
So, if part of the project includes like getting community buy-in, running it through boards and so forth, and that's been completed, should it still be put down and demonstrated that those things are done, just to show that kind of story arc?
I would say, you know, you might want to address that real briefly, but you know, save room for the bulkier project activities that we are going to be funding.
And do make that distinction when you're describing other things that either you're doing in the future or you've already completed, that they were already funded and are not being funded by this pot of money.
I'd say, Bill, and we're going to maybe we'll flip back to the section C, the budget now. The budget worksheet and narrative, but that's the other place that a lot of reviewers spend their time, is reviewing your budget and your budget narrative. In fact, some of them really start there and then go look at what you said about what you're going to do. So in terms of where the reviewers are really going to be focusing their attention, this is another really key area that, you know, they'll be looking again to make sure that what you say matches up with what you've got in your budget, so that they think it's a realistic project and that you've got a realistic idea of what's going to cost you to do the work.
Do you need letters from the people providing the match funds as additional support? How will I tell you that I have those match funds?
Yeah. For these projects, we require that you have match funds secure in the first year, but we don't need documentation of that.
So some people use that as, they call that a partner, and they have that funding organization write them a letter of support. But that's not necessary.
Yeah, I'm just wondering to what extent, you know, like the Camp Pizza Place is going to provide snacks at the workday.
Right. Yeah.
We don't need
that kind of detail. So
then in terms of, like, if we do have a funder, they're not actively doing work on the project, but they're providing that financial contribution, so that makes them a really nice partner. You would recommend then that we include a letter from them?
You could include a letter from them as a financial partner, but we wouldn't consider them to be an active partner.
Okay.
Krista, will you fund at the requested level more or less, or will you make cuts in program scope and budget to manage the totality of the project?
Normally, we fund the project in totality, except at the with the exception of when we have more projects that the review committee wants to fund. Then we have funding available to fund. And so in that case, usually not all of them, we would leave in totality most of the projects, but a couple of the projects might be reduced in funds.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we have a certain amount of money to award, and sometimes the committee just can't let one project, you know, go, and they'll figure out a way to kind of take a little bit from another project to fund that last project. But in general, our practice and what we've recommended to the committees is not to trim budgets unless there's something they see that they specifically do not want to fund or is not eligible for our funding. Then they might call that out, or we as staff would call that out and say, you know, this line item we're not going to remove or request that you remove. But generally, our practice is to take budgets as presented, fund a full project if we can, like Chris said. But every once in a while, the committee will do that just to slip another project in. Maybe we'll fund 1 year of a project, or if we think something can be broken in half or in partial funding in a logical way, they might do that in order to fund an additional project.
I have up in front of me the kind of what the worksheet looks like. A couple of things to note on there, and this is also in your full application material, is just that rate for volunteers. So we use the independent sector federal rate, so volunteer time is counted as $23.07 this year. So if you are using volunteers, for example, to pull ivy or pull blackberries, then or plant trees, that's how you can calculate their time. If you have volunteers who are, for example, an engineer and they're doing engineering work, that is calculated at their professional rate. So if they make, you know, $75,000 a year, then their hourly rate of that salary then is used for their volunteer contribution. And it doesn't go in that volunteer section, it goes in the professional services section. So, and that is all kind of listed out on your budget narrative.
So if you're planning to, if we're planning to use our volunteer labor as our match, how would that be considered secured if, as an organization, we have a history of being able to get that many volunteers?
Right. Right. So that's part of your scope and your timeline, that you would say we've got 5 events planned. We anticipate having 15 people at each event. It'll
so
take
that
3 hours,
secure.
And that is your secure match. Yes.
So just to go over the kind of the difference between some of these categories, the personal services, the two ones that get mixed up most often, sometimes even by us on staff, is the personal services and the professional services. So personal services are if you are a staff person working at the organization to whom this grant was granted, and that is your salary there. The professional services is if you hire a contractor or hire someone from, you subcontract out to another nonprofit, then that is considered professional services. Yeah.
So if we have a partner that, like the City of Portland, is going to be doing a lot of work on the project, so do we put that under personal services match funds column?
Usually those will be professional services in the match column.
Okay, yeah. So I'll link.
Unless they're a co-applicant.
Okay.
If you're the applicant, it's just your staff.
Okay. So all of the, so BES Portland Parks, all their time is going to be under professional services match.
Yeah.
And something like the youth corps would be under professional services.
So, yeah.
Yes.
They,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Materials and supplies seems pretty straightforward. Transportation costs. The final category that gives people a little bit of a hard time is indirect or overhead costs. So that's a little bit different than how other organizations define overhead. When we talk about overhead, we're really talking about rent, utilities, phone bills, things of that nature. And we allow 10% of our grant funds to be used for that cause. The other thing that a lot of people use that overhead for is fiscal administration. So if you're having another nonprofit administrate your finances, often they'll charge you a percentage fee of your grant for administering that.
And do we need to put applicable in the box?
Just leave a blank. Yeah, just leave a blank. Yeah.
Do you have the mileage rate of the tip of your tongue, current for transportation?
I don't know what the current is, but. What's that?
I said, I think it's
0.575. That seems right to me, too. So.
You said 7?
Just
0.575.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just document it.
Just make a note.
Do people have other questions about the budget? The section D is evaluation measures and outcomes report. If you filled out a full application last year, this has been simplified a little bit from last year. We took out the activities portion to try and make it not as repetitive with the scope of work. We're really asking you to, the point of this is really for us to get into more detail about how you're going to reach your goals and really how you are going to know whether you were successful or not. What is your measure of success and how will you know? And so this really is just asking some details about what, for you to detail out the goals and outcomes, the strategies, the location and habitat type, and the demographics and the people that you'll reach, and telling us how you plan on collecting that information. So it should be fairly straightforward. Do people have questions about this evaluation reporting piece? So each one of these things that we're asking you to do as part of the full application are also things that we will attach if you are granted or if you are awarded a grant. These are things that will attach to your contract. So in some ways, we're asking you to do pre-work for the contracting phase as well. So the budget obviously will go as part of the contract. This evaluation reporting for any of our grantees, we ask them to give us progress reports every 6 months, and we ask them to report on the things that they tell us that they're going to measure in the full application, as well as the scope of work is the scope of work for the contracting phase.
And do you mean the number we expect or just the measures? Like, do you want that we're going to measure by the number of acres planted, or do you want we're planning on planting 4 acres?
This is really to tell us how you're going to how you're going to measure.
How we'll measure, and then the amounts and details would probably be in the scope report.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. That's right. That's right.
Do people have other questions about the evaluation reporting piece? And we went over the scope of work a little bit earlier. Do people have any other questions about scope of work now that you've had a chance to think about it? Then the final thing that is optional, as I mentioned, that several of your groups might want to include either photos, designs, or additional maps. And so this is just your space in order to do that. We give you 2 pages if you would like to add that information.
With, with the maps, with the pre-application, the map was more focused with them. It seemed like utilizing the mapping tools more to show the reach of who might be engaged. So with these maps, are you looking more for the project map, more detailed rather than using the metro mapping tool?
Yeah, I think that most often when people have submitted things in this last section, it's been, for example, photos of the current conditions of the site, or designs for the project design, so what it will look like, or more site-specific maps or aerial photos, generally speaking. That's what this has been used for in the past.
Okay.
And then, very similar to our last pre-application, we just put at the end of this document several of the resources that we think are important in terms of context for your particular project, and those are just there for your information and as a resource for you. So that's really the end of our presentation. Now we'll take any additional questions, or after we're done with additional kind of general questions, I'm happy to speak to you individually about your project.
Do you want to talk about the other handout?
Oh, yeah. Thanks. So this, again, is just as a resource for you. Metro Natural Areas Program recently conducted an RFP, request for proposals, for contractors who work in restoration. And so we just wanted to share with you, just for your information, this list of contractors and what types of work they do. So that if you are planning on hiring a contractor, that you had this information at your disposal. And if you need more information about this, we're happy to talk to you about it afterwards.
So for the last round of the conservation education grants, we were pushing the limits in terms of getting the grant in at the end, and there were some problems in terms of handling the load or something. So would you advise that for this time, all of us try not to get everything in at the last moment, or is that just a momentary glitch or probably pilot error on my part?
You know, it's always better if you can get your application in sooner rather than later. You're on a pretty tight timeline for this one, so I definitely would not fault you for turning it in at July 7th at 3:00. We shouldn't have any errors this time. Hopefully not. The email address is the same one that you use to submit for the pre-application, the Natural Areas Grants at OregonMetro.gov. And we should be able to process your applications right away. And the reason that we do ask for the applications to be submitted at 4 p.m. is so that we do have that time at our desks from 4 to 6 p.m. to answer any last minute frantic questions or computer glitches.
Yeah. And unlike with the pre-app, we know your application is due. Like with the pre-app, we don't know how many applications we're going to get necessarily, so we don't know if we've missed anyone. In this case, we will know if we do not hear from you. So
you might be getting an email from me at 4:17 asking you where your application is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
If you can combine them, that would be great. That would be ideal.
Yeah.
And the reason I think I said this probably during the pre-application workshop as well, but the reason that we ask for the information in Word as well as PDF is because we take a lot of the information you provide us and we drop it into an Excel spreadsheet, and so it just makes it easier for that process to happen.
So we do want both again.
If possible, yeah. And we understand that letters of support, for example, or permission to use property or other documents will not be able to be provided in Word documents, and that's fine. We just wanted the three pieces that you'll be submitting new, the budget, the evaluation outcomes, and the scope of work.
Yeah.
In Word.
This makes it easier for us to cut and paste that stuff.
Yeah.
Question.
So again, you're expecting that we will rework the pre-application to update it, make it more readable, integrate it with the other materials that are in there, and only if it's a significant change from the original pre-app do we call that out in that last category.
Right, that's right.
The reworking of it is just what you would expect.
Yeah.
Other questions? No? Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for coming tonight. This is really nice to meet you all face-to-face, those of you I haven't met before and Heather hasn't met before, and to get an opportunity to tell you in person a little bit more about the full application, so thank you. One of the questions that Heather and I were thinking about today, and we'll just leave this out with you as a group, is whether these full application workshops are useful. So maybe that's something that you can think about, and we'll send out a survey just to get feedback on whether it's we know it's in the evening at the end of your day, it's the end of our day, is it a useful in your time? So So again, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. And if you have any questions, Heather needs to go, but I will be here if you want to talk to me individually.
Thank you both.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Nice work.